Good morning. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you to our first Sunday program. This is December the 7th. For those of you who are, of course, listening, you would know that. But if you're going into the archives, this program was recorded live on December the 7th, 2014. We want to welcome you once again to another program where we explore the wonders of God and the miracle of Jesus and invite you to experience with us the healing and anointing that God has blessed us with. This program has the title nominally of Body, Mind, and Soul, with the idea, soul, with the idea being that in this program we'll spend some time giving some attention to how God's miracle work and healing can directly address our concerns and issues at each of those levels. Now, because this is the Christmas month, the month of Christmas, Pastor Benjamin has asked that we punctuate our programs with a bit more of Christmassy music. So to put us in the mood, here are the AJs singing their Christmas song.
Yeah.
So that was the OJs singing about I Can Only Wait for Christmas. So here we are in this month. And as you know, when we begin our programs, we take a moment to sing our prayers, to say a prayer, and to thank God once again for allowing us for yet another day. So this is Body, Mind, and Soul. And we want to focus on this program on the miracle of life and the joys of God and understand them to be in the context of God's love for us. Heavenly Father, we are delighted once again to stand before you, to see your throne, and to know that you have allowed us in this moment to stand and to be in your kingdom. Now, Lord, the joys we feel in this moment are unparalleled because we cannot be here until we have released the holds of the enemy and the enemy agents on us with their doubts, their opinions, their anger and emotions. And Lord, we release and break those chains, Lord, that are on us from them. Lord, we ask that you hold those chains, that you dissolve them with the power of your love. And in this moment, Lord, we know that the body is healed. We go down, Lord, down every muscle, Lord. We go down the spine. Lord, heal the brain. Lord, heal the skin. Lord, heal every organ and every gland. Lord, in this moment, release whatever is in our nervous system and take that away, Lord. And let the Holy Ghost, Lord, swim and surge and breathe that anointed life into us, because this is a day, Lord, for our special anointing. Lord, we ask that continue to hold off the demons, the devils, the agents of the enemy. Hold them off, Lord. Lord, more than that, dissolve them, disintegrate them. If they don't accept Jesus as their personal Savior, if they're unwilling to be born again, if they're unwilling to accept Jesus as their Savior, then, Lord, it's now time that they cease to exist and that they be removed, Lord, permanently until you give them another chance to come back again and to accept Jesus for who and what he is, the Son of God. And, Lord, those demons and entities that may have found their way into any of our listeners, we now, by your authority and your power, Lord, they are now cast out. Yes, they are. They're cast out. And we're not sending them anywhere. We're not letting them go. If they won't step in the light and accept Jesus, Lord, then likewise, disintegrate, dissolve them. Lord, in this month, we celebrate Jesus manifesting himself in this world through his mother Mary. On the day that we celebrate, Lord, December 25th, and this is a month of great joy and celebration and remembrance and excitement as we look forward to yet another lifetime, another year beyond even this year. Lord, we know, and you know, that Jesus has forgiven us our sins. But Lord, we also know that that forgiveness is in this moment. And though the sins may be forgiven, Jesus has left with us the power and capacity to sin again. So Lord, we're standing in the kingdom. And we ask in this moment, Lord, if you are willing and if it is your will, because we are your humble disciples, that you will take away from us in this moment even the capacity to sin. Now, Lord, this doesn't mean that we can't do things that people don't like. It doesn't mean that we can't do things that we don't like. But what it means is that the shadow of sin will no longer be over us, that we will be free of that, and our lives will be filled forevermore with divine holy light. And all who see us will know that you have blessed us with your holy light. And they themselves, if they are aware and open to it, Lord, we know that they will feel that light, that feel that light, and that light will fill them likewise with the joy and happiness and the hunger for the word and the hunger for Jesus' love and blessings. Lord, we move even ever more upward. We come to our mind, Lord, and know that our minds are filled with thoughts and feelings of guilt, anger, some cases hate and desire. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to be in your kingdom today, because we know that the power of being your kingdom will remove from us all aspects of anything that cannot and will not be here. That we're only here, Lord, with your permission and because of your mercy, because you want us to know what being in heaven really is like. So, Lord, we are here, and we ask, and I now feel the great power of your love, the great power of your anointing, washing away all of those shadows of doubt, taking us, Lord, and holding us in your hand. Now, Lord, I hear and feel you pulling us even evermore into your kingdom, washing us, deluging us with your powerful love and joy. And for this reason, Lord, we celebrate the manifestation and birth of Jesus Christ into this world, into these worlds, knowing that these worlds are not real. Only Jesus is real. Only your holiness and your love is real. And all else, Lord, is nothing but illusions managed and manipulated by the tempter, by Satan himself. And we know, Lord, that every time a thought comes into our mind, which is not one of love and light and appreciation, we know that it is not a thought that has come from you, Lord. We know that it's a thought come from the one that seeks to bind us to these worlds, that seeks to take advantage of our humanity and our humaneness. Lord, we want the tempter to understand that we truly are divine creations and that we know that you have accepted us at that and created us that way so that we may sustain ourselves in the kingdom of heaven. And that the light and love with which you have filled us, Lord, will buoy us and keep us evermore in your kingdom. Now, Lord, in this prayer, and this may not be the last prayer in this program, but in this prayer we have beseeched you for healing. We have beseeched your love because we know that it's there. And we know that the only thing that separates us from your love and your healings are those distractions which keep us from maintaining ourselves and for being evermore in your heavenly presence. Lord, these blessings and all other blessings are asked not just for us, they're for our neighbors, our family members, our friends, for anyone who cries out to you in the night, who seeks you in the day, who feels lost and lonely, who feels upset, who feels neglected, and who cries out and says, Lord, help me. Lord, we ask that you open your windows of heaven and let down that light and joy and even if it's for only a moment, to lift them into your divine presence so that even though they may not have done the work, they may not have prayed sincerely, they may not have recognized Jesus in that moment, but Lord, let them see what lies ahead for them if they only come to understand that Jesus is the light of the world and that there is only way, the only way that they can return to and enter heaven is by accepting Jesus as their Savior, allowing him and accepting the forgiveness of their sins, becoming reborn, and knowing that even though they stand at the edge of heaven, and even though they are saved, that they need to be reborn and saved every day. So these blessings, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. And we sing with Mariah Carey, the great joy that we have. Joy to the world. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Joy to the world. Yeah.
Pastor Benjamin. This is Dr. Scott here, as you know. You know, I was just thinking the other day about what great love and trust it took for the disciples to come to the shore, at least the people who are going to be disciples to come to the shore and have Jesus say, and hear Jesus tell them, well, going back out there, I wonder how many people have gone back out there, have had God tell them, well, I need you to trust me. How many people are hearing that trust and are not going back out onto the oceans of their life and letting down that net so they can pull up the joys that God has given them? Yes, indeed. Are we letting down our nets? And I wonder how many people are letting their nets down too soon. What do you say about that, Pastor?
Well, good morning, Dr. Scott. I tell you, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and it's a good thing to know him. It's impossible.
Amen.
It's impossible for one to let down its net when they don't, when they're not in the presence of the Lord. In order for Peter to let down his net in the sea, he came into the presence of the Lord. He had cleaned up his net and was on his way home in disgust because he toiled all night, according to the scripture, and the scripture declares that he caught nothing. So there, out of anguish and what have you going on around him, he probably couldn't figure out, well, I've fished in this water before, and I've caught fish. For some reason, tonight, I didn't get anything. I had my net down, but all I caught was seaweed. And that's what happens with us. A lot of times we have our nets down, but we didn't catch anything because God wanted to bring about a miracle in our life. Now, let's just say, for instance, an example, the perfect example would be, as I spoke to someone, that if I gave you $5,000 and you received it and said, well, listen, thank you for the $5,000. Here is $500. Well, which one of us you would feel that felt like they've got the most? The one that got $500 back off of the $5,000, or the one who was left with the $45,000? See, the miracle is the person that received it and gave back. So God himself held back the fish because he could have let Peter get, let's say what's normal, let's say half a net. But he wanted to give Peter an overwhelming amount of fish or crab, whatever it was that got into his net. God wanted to bless him. But he couldn't get the blessing until he got in God's presence. And when he came in contact with Jesus on his way home, disappointed, one would say, that I've toiled all night and I've caught nothing. Jesus told him to go back out there where the miracle is. I'm going to create a miracle for you. Now, he didn't say that. So it came to be a certain amount of trust we have to have in God. When God speaks a thing to us, even though it seems ancient, it seems so far-fetched, but he takes the foolish to confound the wise, the foolish things, and what didn't seem right. But Peter, now, look, can you imagine being out there all night and caught nothing, and here comes somebody telling you, look, go back out there. There's plenty of fish in the sea. Go back out there. You know, and so Peter was somewhat, I would say, if you read the story, disgusted. with the command of Jesus or the thought of Jesus or the word of Jesus to tell him that, look here, Dr. Scott, I've been out all night long. I'm tired. I'm disgusted. I'm disappointed because I've caught nothing. I am a fisherman. That's how I make my living. Now, here Jesus is saying, yeah, but do it again. I don't think that was the right word or the words that Peter wanted to hear. So what lets me know, Peter wasn't trying to do that. But he looks at Jesus and he says, nevertheless, at thy word. So he let us know that he was reluctant to go back out there. Jesus told him, go back, cast your net to the other side. And Peter said, come on here, God, I've been out here a long time. But nevertheless, at thy word. And by him being obedient and not trying to figure out the mind of God, as we try to do, we try to figure out the mind of God. The name of this program today is Body, Mind, and Soul. So we always try to figure out the mind of God. God tell you to fast for 3 days. You try to tell God, I need to take 8. God said 3. We're trying to figure out, well, what good is 3 days going to do me when I need to do 8 days? God said, don't eat or drink. Well, God, I'm a diabetic. I have to eat something. I got high blood pressure. I have to eat something. Well, unbeknownst to your own self, if you don't eat and don't drink, you won't have a problem with your diabetes that day or your blood pressure. So we try to figure out the mind of God. But Peter went out reluctantly, said, nevertheless, at thy word. And my God, I tell you, the miracle that he received was that he had so many fish till his net broke. He couldn't pull them all in out of the sea to the dry land. He had so, could you imagine being blessed by God to that you've got so much from God? God has given you an abundant that you cannot even receive it all. Oh my God, I'd love to walk in the land of can't receive it all. Woo! Because what I did receive is more than enough. I have more than enough. So that what I couldn't bring with me, I just say, Lord, I left that for somebody else. So, you know, to answer your question, I think I did. What do you have to say?
Well, you know, while you were talking, what dropped in my spirit was the thought that I wonder how many of us are ready to go out there and put our nets over the side. I mean, I'm seeing myself right now. I'm seeing myself, Pastor, and me and you sitting right in this boat along with Peter. And Peter said, look here, Jesus, you know, Jesus, he says we need to go back out there and put our nets down, our nets down. And I can just see somebody saying, man, what are you talking about? We've been out here all this time. Now, you know there's no fish out here. Well, see, you know, and there's that little part of us quite often when God gives us command, when God drops something in our spirit, there's that little part of us which says, wait a minute, hold it. I have done this, this, and this. But as you said, Pastor, there has to be obedience. There has to be trust. There has to be a willingness. And most importantly, there has to be some kind of belief. Now, Peter may not have believed it, but in our lives, we have to believe that when that net goes down, it's going to come up with what God said is going to be there. And we're going to feel it, and we're going to know it. And I think we all are in a situation where we have nets that we want to cast. In some cases, we're casting the nets for miracle. But you notice that Jesus didn't call them to the shore. He let them go through whatever they had to go through before it was time to put the nets down. In some cases, we have to, Pastor, we have to fish all night. We have to go over to one shore or the other. We got to put the net down and the net comes up empty. Put the net down, the net comes up empty. Put the net down, the net comes up empty. And then when we come to that point where Jesus is standing there and says, now it's time for you to follow my command. I'm instructing you in this moment to get back into that boat, to row back to where you were, to throw that net over the side and know that my blessings and my miracles will fill your life so much so that you may not be able to contain it. You will have the overflow. So, Pastor, thank you for giving us the chance, you know, for that reflection. Now, while before we move on, let's listen, just take a moment to listen to Dottie Peoples singing Jesus, What a Wonderful Child. Amen. Glory to the newborn King. Wow. Wow. Can you feel that glory just raining down? God opens his windows all the time. They are open all the time. And God's glory is just raining down upon us. And in another program, we talked a bit about how many of us have umbrellas up and God's glory and blessings don't reach us. And some of us look up and say, God, I prayed to you and I don't feel the glory. Well, we don't feel it. You don't feel it because the umbrella is up. And what we want to be able to do is surrender. To be able to say to God, I surrender. I surrender all. Yes. I surrender. I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender my angers. I surrender my hates. I surrender my upsets. Lord, I just love you. Pastor, I was thinking the other day about how many times, not only I, but other people who spend their time wanting God to bless them, and how many times there'll be reactions. You know, something will happen, and somebody may go in the line in front of them at Walmart, or may take their parking place, and they have these little bursts of anger. And I was thinking about the fact that when God puts us in heaven, he doesn't lock our feet to the heavenly kingdom. He puts us on roller skates to the extent that as soon as I get that little burst of anger, I've skated myself right out of the kingdom. And, you know, I can beg God to hold me there. Remember one time I had an exercise where I just tied myself, I thought, to a tree in the heaven. And then I got mad, and the tree and I both came out of heaven. So there's something about the power of surrender, about letting go. People say, what, let go and let God. My thought, Pastor, is to let go and hold on to God. Pastor, are you with us? Amen, amen.
Yes, I am, Dr. Scott. I'm with you. I'm right here. I'm listening to the umbrella story that many of us put up an umbrella of disbelief. You know, mm-hmm. We might take one umbrella down, but the umbrella of disbelief, that getting back to the fish story with Peter,
yes.
Peter said, nevertheless, you know, he had some doubt, but when he said, nevertheless, at thy word, he took down his umbrella of doubt or disbelief. And there are several umbrellas that we put up, you know, against what the word of God instructs us to do. There is an umbrella of I can't wait. I've got to fix this myself. But the scripture lets us know, let patience have her perfect work. That means we have to wait on the Lord. Isaiah talks about, but they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. So when you take down the umbrella of doubt and disbelief, you're telling God, I trust thee, and in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. That's where Peter was. He was at a point that I don't know what to do, I don't know what to believe, but at thy word I'm going to take down my umbrella of defense. I'm going to take down my umbrella that says, I don't see this. I just left the water. I've been there all night. And now I'm to go back to where I just leapt and caught nothing but seaweed? Come on here. But he had to take down that umbrella of, I got this. See, that's what happens to many of us when we have our umbrellas up. We're trying to tell God, you don't know what you're talking about. I got this. And God is saying, trust me, for I created this. Oh, bless his name. I love the Lord, and I won't take it back because he is so good to me. We're sitting there hollering about, I got this. And God said, but I created it. So I just thank God, Dr. Scott, for the umbrella story and the fish and Dottie People singing Jesus, that wonderful child, so holy, meek, and mild. And to be children of God, we have to be just like Jesus, holy, meek, and mild. We sing a song in my church as a child, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, how I long to be like him, so meek and lowly, so humble and holy, how I long to be like him. And then the next verse, somebody would say, one of the old mothers, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. How I long to be like him. I'm meek and lowly. I want to be humble and holy. How I want to be like him. And that's what we do when we take our umbrellas down. We're submitting and we're saying, Lord, I heard you say, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. The scripture said, unto us is born a Savior. All to thee, my blessed Savior. But if you have your umbrella up, it can separate you fully from the Lord. Paul asked the question, who can separate you from the love of God? Who can separate you from the Lord? Your umbrella can. Your umbrella can separate you by saying, I don't want to do this. Can give you an attitude. Your umbrella will signify the song that I believe Frank Sinatra or Bing Crosby, one of them, Crosby, whatever his name is, said, I did it my way. But when you have your umbrella up, that's what you're telling God when he has instructed you to do it according to his word, and you keep your umbrella up, you're saying to God, I'm going to do it my way. And then you find yourself in a ditch and can't get out. A preacher said once that people sing, I went to the valley and didn't go to stay, but my soul got happy and I stayed all day. And he said, well, why you want to stay in the valley all day? Come on out the valley. Come on out up on the mountaintop. But when you got your umbrella up, Dr. Scott, God can get a blessing to you with your umbrella up, your umbrella of doubt and fear and disbelief, because he's God. He can get your blessing to you because he's God. But it will take that much longer. See, if you were free in the spirit, you receive that much quicker. You see, it's just so sad that we be in church all of our life and hear sermon after sermon after sermon, and yet we want to put that umbrella up. But, you know, when you follow the story of Jesus, and he told them to get the water pots, and fill it with water. It's what in the world is wrong with it? What is wrong with Jesus? We're at a wedding feast, and he's telling us to put water in the water pot. What is wrong with him? But you see, Mary was standing by, and she had to instruct the disciples, whatever he say do, do it. So now they didn't really listen to Jesus. At that point, they was questioning his ability and wondering, well, is he nuts? Has he had too much wine? Is he drunk with wine telling us to get the water pot and fill it with water at a wedding feast? So they had to listen to Mary. Mary said to them, whatever he tells you to do, whatever he said do, do it. So then they went on, and they filled the water pot with water. And Jesus worked a miracle at the wedding. He took that water and turned it into wine. So when you take your umbrella down, as we used to preach when I was a child, take the limits off God. Take the breaks off God. When you get rid of your umbrella of trying to figure out God, he said, my ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. You don't know how my mind operates. So why question me? For I am God. I created you. I know what you need. I know what you're trying to do that you can't do. You think you can, but without me, you fail. And that's why we fail, because of our umbrellas of I did it my way, or I can do it without your help. So, Dr. Scott, I think this is a very good program that we have here today, Body, Mind, and Soul. It is dealing with the humanistic part of us, where we just, you know, think that we can do it the way we choose to do it. But our body, our mind, and our soul comes from God. So who more better to fix the situation than the one who made it? I'm sure. Amen. If you worked on planes, I believe, I'm sure the person to fix the car at General Motors is the one who designed it.
Amen.
He knows what goes where. He knows how he designed it and how he... Well, so God designed us. He knows what he needs to do and how he wants to do it for us. So today I would say to you, this is the Christmas season. Just let go and let God. It doesn't take anything away from you. I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. Even grown people have to follow instructions, follow the rules. You can be grown, but if you don't read that bleach bottle to say, do not drink this, wash clothes with it, you'll find out that you shouldn't have been grown. You should have followed the label, the instructions that was on that bleach container. So I'm going to decrease so that you can increase, Dr. Scott. I'd like to say hello to all of our listeners. Be aboard with us this entire month of December. We will be talking about the goodness of the Lord, as always, and playing a few Christmas carols so that you can just take your umbrella down and see Jesus, who made this all possible. I know if I was overseas somewhere, they may celebrate Christmas at a different date or a different time, but I'm in America. And we celebrate the birth of Jesus on the 25th day of December of every year. I don't care about those of you that want to celebrate it in October. I don't care if you want to celebrate it in February. But I celebrate Jesus on the 25th of December, according to the calendar. So listen to us on Thursday, every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and every fourth Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And what you hear on every fourth Wednesday is that of what we have done on the fourth Sunday. Of course, if the fourth Wednesday comes, according to the calendar, before the fourth Sunday, then what you hear on the fourth Sunday is that of what we've done on the fourth Wednesday. Oh, bless his name. May you all be blessed real good. May your hearts be merry and bright, because Jesus is the reason for the season.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you for those words, as always. We treasure them. And just want to say to listeners, I want to thank you for the contributions which you are making and sending in regards to keeping Glory United Ministries. Right now, our service and programs, as you know, is mainly on the Internet. But we are wanted to build a treasure chest so that Pastor Benjamin will be able to visit and deliver the Glory United Ministry message wherever it is needed and appreciated, here in the U.S. and other countries, wherever. So we will be amassing a travel chest for her. I call it a treasure chest. Actually, it would be a travel chest. And also, of course, we do have our monthly expenses. These include not only Blog Talk Radio, but also the various cards and communications that we share with different listeners. So what you will do, if you are interested in providing that support, is sending a check or money order to Glory United Ministries. And if you want to personalize it, certainly you can put Patricia Benjamin on the check, or Gregory Scott. But Glory United Ministries, the account honors all the three of those names, at 386 Walmart, that's the department store, Walmart Drive, Suite 7, PMB 76, Camden, Delaware, 19934. So to repeat that, that would be to Glory United Ministries, 386 Walmart Drive, Suite 7, PMB 76, Camden, Delaware, 19934. 19934. And if you want to send us a communication, you can send it to me and I will share it with the pastor. And my email address is Gregory M. Scott, with two T's, all one word, at yahoo.com. So the email address is Gregory M. Scott at yahoo.com. Well, as the pastor said, we certainly have enjoyed being with you for this hour and sharing various perspectives. And one of the things that the pastor and I try to do is give every single program a title which will aid in the search for it. However, you can go to our website, glory-u.org, and you will be able to hear this program directly from the archives. So we're going to end this program with the song which, for many of us, it really begins, and that's the angels singing in anticipation and recognition of Jesus' birth. This is Mariah Carey, Hark the Angels Sing. Thank you for listening.